Can you all see my PowerPoint?
Yes, we can.
Take up your whole screen, or?
Yes, taking up your whole screen.
Just, I've been experimenting with it, and I wasn't quite sure what we could end up with. So, what I want to speak about, I've entitled A Dysfunctional Royal Family, because this last year has been a really bad one for our royal family. So, just 1 year ago, in 2019, in spite of the cracks in their relationship, the two princes were together at the cenotaph. But this year, Prince William was on his own. Prince Harry wasn't even recognised. And the least said about Prince Andrew, better. Now, there is a saying that there's nothing new under the sun. And I want to tell you today a story about another dysfunctional royal family, which took place around 1000 BC in the land of Israel. And if you want to read it, all the details of the story, it's in 2 Samuel, starting at chapter 13. So when our story begins, there had only been two kings in Israel. The first was Saul, and he had not been a great success. And God had replaced him with David, saying, I found in David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. So, to our story. David's son, Absalom, had a beautiful sister named Tamar. And Amnon, her half-brother, fell desperately in love with her and so obsessed with Tamar that he became ill. So Amnon's cousin came up with a plan that involved Tamar being manipulated into looking after the unwell Amnon, who sent everyone away except for Tamar, whereupon he raped her. Having had his wicked way with her, he hated her more than he'd loved her, and he sent her away. And she went to her brother Absalom's house and lived there, the Bible tells us, as a desolate woman. So King David was very angry, and Absalom hated Amnon and determined to be revenged. And 2 years later, he persuaded Amnon to come to a feast at sheep shearing time. It was really a trap for him to get revenge for Amnon's treatment of Tamar, and he told his men to get Amnon drunk and then kill him. And David mourned for his son Amnon, and Absalom fled to Geshur to his grandfather. He stayed there for 3 years. And after 3 years, David had become reconciled to Amnon's death, and he longed to be reconciled with Absalom, who was also his son. And Joab, one of David's advisors and friends and warriors, realized how much the king longed to see Absalom. So he sent for a wise woman who convinced David that God wanted him to bring Absalom back to Jerusalem. She told him, all of us must die eventually. Our lives are like water spilled out on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. But God does not just sweep life away. Instead, he devises ways to bring us back when we've been separated from him. So Joab was allowed to fetch Absalom, but Absalom had to stay in his own home and never go to the royal palace. Maybe it was the first lockdown. I don't know. But he didn't like that. He didn't like this isolation. And he kept trying to persuade Joab to intercede for him with the king. The gentle persuasion didn't work. So he burnt Joab's barley field. Joab got the message and he talked to the king and persuaded him. And at last, David summoned Absalom, who came and bowed low before the king. And the king kissed him. Now, Absalom was handsome, well-liked and crafty. He was very proud in particular of his hair. He would cut it once a year and he'd weigh how much he cut off. But in between, it got very long. He was very handsome. And he hired bodyguards to keep himself safe. And he proceeded to stop people who wanted to see the king. And when they came for judgments on things, he persuaded them that the king didn't have time to decide their cases, and that he, Absalom, would do much better. And in this way, he courted the people and stole their hearts from the king. After 4 years of this, he told David he was going to Hebron to make a sacrifice to God. But while he was there, out of reach of David, he stirred up a rebellion against the king, and the people crowned Absalom as king. David was told about this and advised that he needed to leave Jerusalem in a hurry in order to be safe. And no one from David's retinue was left behind except for 10 concubines who were left behind to look after the royal palace. Everyone else went out into the wilderness. When everyone was safely out of the city, David said, "If the Lord sees fit, he will bring me back to see the Ark and the Tabernacle again. But if he is through with me, then let him do what seems best to him." And then David planned to go to the River Jordan and wait there for news. And as he walked up the road to the Mount of Olives, he was weeping. His head was covered. His feet were bare as a sign of mourning. And all the people who were with him did the same. Now David's advisor, one of David's advisors, Ahithophel, was now backing Absalom. So David prayed, "Oh Lord, let Ahithophel foolish advice." And then David sent another advisor, Hushai, who was loyal to David, sent him back to Jerusalem so that he advised Absalom badly and get news to David about what was going on. David had some unexpected help from Ziba, who was the servant of Mephibosheth. He was waiting for him with 2 donkeys loaded, 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 bunches of summer fruit, which some versions of the Bible say are figs, and a wineskin full of wine. So he was provided for by Ziba. And then Shimei came along. He was part of Saul's family. He hated David, so he cursed David and all his warriors, threw stones at him and all the warriors surrounding David. He obviously felt that David's star was on the wane and it was safe to do that. Well, Abishai wanted to cut Shimei's head off. David stopped him, saying, "No, if the Lord has told him to curse me, who are you to stop him? Perhaps the Lord will see that I am being wronged and will bless me because of these curses today." Meanwhile, back in Jerusalem, Absalom and his army had arrived to cries of "Long live the king" from Hushai. Absalom was surprised at Hushai turning on David, but Hushai convinced Absalom that he was sincere. "I'm here because I belong to the man who is chosen by the Lord and by all the men of Israel," Hushai declared. "And anyway, why shouldn't I serve you? Just as I was your father's advisor, now I will be your advisor." Well, when Absalom asked for advice on what to do next, Ahithophel suggested sleeping with all of David's concubines that had been left behind in the palace. By doing this, he said, Absalom would insult David so badly that there would be no hope of a reconciliation and everyone would regard Absalom as king. So Absalom did this in full view of everyone. And then on a roll, Ahithophel urged Absalom, "Let me take 12,000 men and start out after David tonight. I'll catch up with him when he's weary and discouraged. He and his troops will panic and everyone will run away. Then I will kill only the king, and I will bring all the people back to you as a bride returns to her husband. After all, it's only one man's life that you seek. Then you will be at peace with all the people." The plan seemed good to Absalom and to all the elders of Israel. But then Absalom asked, lost my share.
Everything seems fine here still.
Okay, I found it again. So Absalom asked Hushai what he should do, and he said that Ahithophel's plan wasn't a good one. The reason he said that was he wanted to delay the attack and give David time to prepare. So what Hushai said was, "David's warriors are too strong for you, so you need to mobilize the whole army of Israel, and that Hushai himself would lead them into battle to kill David and all his men." So Absalom decided to follow Hushai's plan. But Hushai sent word to David, And his messengers were spotted, but they escaped. They hid in a well. And Absalom's men were then misdirected and didn't find them. So David was warned, and he and all his people escaped. But Ahithophel, whose advice wasn't taken, was so humiliated, he hanged himself that night. Now David gathered all his warriors together, and they marched to battle. David stayed behind in safety on the advice of his men. They said he was worth more than all of them. But before they left, David asked his men to deal gently with Absalom. He didn't want another of his sons to die. Well, the battle was fought in a forest, and Absalom's mule rode under a tree. And Absalom's hair was very long at the time, and it got caught in the tree. And Absalom was left at the mercy of David's men. In spite of David asking him to deal kindly with Absalom, Joab had him killed. Well, that was the end of the battle. But David was very sad. He was glad his troops had won the battle, but sad about Absalom's death. And he went to his room and mourned for his dead son. Joab was furious, so he went to the king's room and said to him, "We saved your life today and the lives of your sons, your daughters, your wives and your concubines. Yet you act like this, making us feel ashamed of ourselves. You seem to love those who hate you and hate those who love you. You've made it clear today that your commanders and troops mean nothing to you. It seems that if Absalom had lived and all of us had died, you would be pleased. Now go out there and congratulate your troops, for I swear by the Lord that if you don't go out, not a single one of them will remain here tonight. Then you will be worse off than ever before." So the king went out to his people, and those who had supported Absalom fled to their homes. You would think that Joab would get praised for that, but he got demoted for criticizing David. But the people asked David to be their king again, and David went back to Jerusalem, and on the way, Shimei, who'd thrown stones, came to beg for forgiveness. Some of David's people wanted him to die, but David spares his life. And I'm going to stop the story there. It's not the end of the story, but I just wanted to ask, you know, to have a think. What do we make of all this? This story about a dysfunctional royal family and about the politics. And there's stuff going on this week in the UK in politics. But we can learn something from this. Paul writes to Timothy. He says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realise what's wrong in our lives." So what can we learn about what's true and what's wrong in our lives? I said at the beginning that there was a saying, "There's nothing new under the sun." It's actually not quite a saying, but a quotation from Ecclesiastes. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. So just as it was 1000 BC, we're now, 3000 years away from that, aren't we? We can relate to those people. So let's have a think about what happened to them. So Tamar, she had a whole life ahead of her. She was a princess. She was beautiful. But her life was destroyed by the lust of Amnon. She lived a desolate life, even though Amnon could have married her if he had chosen to. It wasn't her fault, and it wasn't fair. We don't read that God redeemed her, although Amnon did pay a high price for his lust. And we, I don't know whether you're like me, but I want to put everything right. But this wasn't ever put right. And today, I just want you to realise that someone else can devastate your life. We now live under the grace of God. Because Jesus died, we can know forgiveness and freedom. And we can forgive those who harmed us with the help of the Holy Spirit. Our life may not be put right, but we don't need to live a desolate life. We can still be fruitful. That was Tamar. And then there was Amnon. He was a manipulator and a rapist. He allowed his lust to ruin Tamar's life and apparently felt no remorse. Barbara tells us Tamar pleaded with him to marry her, but he refused and just threw her out of the house. He never spoke about what he'd done, but Absalom eventually had his revenge and had him killed for what Tamar had suffered. In Numbers, we can read, "You may be sure that your sin will find you out." So I think a lesson from Amnon is we must deal with our sin, or it will deal with us. God gives us a way through Jesus to deal with our sin. We can repent. We can ask for forgiveness. We can have a good relationship with God. He may ask us to make restoration, to try to put things right. Amnon could have made things better. He could have married Tamar, and that would have given her a place in society. So God may ask us to do the right thing, but we do know that he will forgive if we come to him in repentance. Then there's Absalom, devious, a murderer, and power hungry, and vain. He was said to be the most handsome man in Israel, and his pride in his hair proved to be his undoing. He managed to get back to live in Jerusalem after killing Amnon, but he wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted to be able to go back to the palace and see the king. And when Joab refused to help him, he burned Joab's barley field. He worked actively against the king, making sure he was more popular than David. He laid the seeds of his own destruction by the way he lived. And eventually, David went on the attack, and Absalom got his comeuppance. Another man whose lust, this time for power, brought him down. Joab. Mostly, the things we read about Joab are good. He's faithful, but he's overzealous and he's unrewarded. And his reward for being faithful and telling King David what he needed to hear, but didn't want to, was to be demoted. He'd already killed Absalom against David's instructions, and his criticism of David was the final straw. He didn't really deserve his emotion, but that was what he got. And we don't always get what we deserve. God will give us mercy, but in our lives, things go wrong sometimes that are not our fault. We do good things and we don't get credited for it. But we can be sure that in all of it, God will work for our good. I didn't read it, but at the first chance Joab got, he murdered his replacement and got back his position. So then we've got Shimei. He acted like a child, calling David and his soldiers names and throwing stones. He deserved punishment. What he got was mercy. Do you remember I said that David was a man after the Lord's own heart? God's heart is for mercy. Then we've got the two advisors, Hushai, who is faithful and trusted, and Ahithophel, a traitor, who's eager to serve whoever might do the best for him, just wanting to be on the winning side. If you're an advisor to someone, who are you like? Are you going to say what people want you to hear? Or are you going to tell them the truth? And the last person in this story was King David. He was generous in defeat, trusting in God, not keen to take revenge, although he made mistakes, a man after God's own heart. I think when we look at the story, one of the mistakes that David made was that he was a leader and he was supposed to make justice happen. That was why people came to Jerusalem to ask David to judge in their cases. So Tamar was raped, and because the person who raped her was one of David's sons, he never punished him. And that led to Absalom killing him. And Absalom wasn't punished, he didn't have justice. And that led to Joab murdering Absalom. If David had put justice in place at the beginning, I think the course of events might have been different. And it's a real lesson to any of us in leadership to be very careful how we deal with people, because something that we don't do can make all sorts of bad things happen. we need to be careful. God says in, I think it's in Amos, he loves justice. We need to be just. But David, after all this stuff happened, his sons murdered and killed each other, he sang this song. We can read this in chapter 22. He sang, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my saviour. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. He is my refuge, my saviour, the one who saves me from violence. I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies." David trusted God to do right by him. And I think that's one of the main reasons why he was a man after God's own heart. So of course, it's not the end of the story, but you can see that in royal families and in politics, there's nothing new under the sun. So I want to ask you today, do you recognise yourself in any of these characters? Are you feeling defeated and desolate like Tamar? Are you a manipulator and lustful like Amnon? Or devious, revengeful and power hungry like Absalom? Do you feel unrewarded like Joab? Are you disloyal like Ahithophel? Are you faithful and trusted like Hushai? Do you trust God, even in your mistakes, like David? I was interested in the songs that we had at the beginning, because the good news of the gospel is that we can break free with God's help from who we have been. The Holy Spirit comes to work in us, and we can be known as loving, joyful, peaceable, patient, kind, good, and faithful. Those are the fruits that God wants to grow in us. We don't have to be the dysfunctional part of the family of God. We can come to him and we can grow to be like Jesus. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you that you love us and that wherever we are today, whatever we're feeling, whatever our life and our character is like, you want us to become more like Jesus. So where we've done things wrong, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. Where we know that we're lacking in good qualities, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come and make up. And when we're held captive by past experiences, we ask, Lord, that you will set us free by the power of the name of Jesus. Lord, may we glorify you day by day, moment by moment, by the way that we live, by the way that we deal with other people, by showing your grace and mercy to those that we are in contact with. We ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.